Now, what I'm talking about here is really understanding the nature of the right-hand side of the room that I talked about earlier. When we're talking now about the right-hand side of the room, I'm talking about the physical plane. You have to understand the physical plane, your role in it, in order to escape it. And that's what this is about. It's about understanding the fundamental duality of your physical world and understanding that you are connected to it at all times. You can never separate yourself from it. The symbol for those who believe that we are in the environment in order to push it around is the bulldozer. The bulldozer is that instrument that we have devised that moves the earth around and cuts down the trees and destroys the forests and so on, not understanding that this is us. We are it. When we do too much of that, when we go to the extreme that we seem to be going to or could go to, then what happens is we are taking away the very thing that we need in order to sustain ourselves. If you take the air out, if you take that which gives us the nitrogen and the hydrogen and the oxygen, if you take that away, if you take the trees away, if you take the oceans and destroy the oceans and pollute the oceans, if you destroy all of the land, eventually what happens is you understand you cannot survive because you are connected to that. You have to have this. And there's only one air. There's only one fire. There's only one water. There's just little glasses of it. It's all one. And so seeing yourself as connected to the environment is one perspective, and seeing yourself as in the environment to push it around is another. Most of us have been raised on the idea that we're in the environment to push it around. And if we don't push it around, it will push us around. It will destroy us if we don't destroy it. And we don't get that when we are destroying it, we are destroying ourselves. And we are also destroying our ability to be able to bring to us, to attract to us, what it is that we would like in this way of manifesting when we see ourselves as separate from that which is in the world, the rest of the world. I'd like to take a look at the physical world, at the right-hand side of the room, and have you understand how it looks from a detached perspective. Have you ever seen a person with a front who doesn't have a back? Try to imagine such a thing. You know, a person with a nice front, and you turn around, and there's no back. Even if they're as anorexic as it gets, right? You still have a back, don't you? Can you imagine someone with an outside that doesn't have an inside? It's not possible, is it? In the physical plane, you always have the opposite. Now, the symbol for the physical plane is the sine wave, which has a crest, and then you go below the surface, and it has a trough, or a nadir and a valley, a top and a bottom. Now, this wave is always separate from its trough. You can see the top of a sine wave, that is the stuff that you're made up of. You can see the top of the wave, and you can see the bottom of a wave. But you can never just see the top. I used to teach metaphysics at the university, and I used to give an assignment to my class. I'd say, I want you to next week bring in a north pole of a magnet and no south pole. And people would go and they slice it real thin. But no matter how thin you slice that magnet, you always have its opposite, don't you? It's the nature of the physical plane to be in duality. When they talk about enlightened beings, they're talking very often, you'll hear it referred to in the literature, you'll hear these people referred to as non-dual beings. People who have gone past the duality of the physical plane. And this is a big part of what we're going to do here in this program, is learn how to do that. All right? But you have to understand it first, that at the top of the wave and at the bottom of the wave, you have that which is separate, but always together. Just like a back and a front. They're separate, but you can't have one without the other. Just like a top and a bottom. And then when you take it into other contexts, just like happiness and unhappiness, just like light and dark. If it was always light, 24 hours a day, light, that was our reality. 24 hours a day, the light shines. Would we have a concept called darkness? We can only have a concept in the physical plane if we know its opposite. If it was always light, we wouldn't need a word like dark. It wouldn't exist. We wouldn't know such a thing. If everybody was always happy, would we have a concept called unhappiness? We wouldn't need any such thing, would we? If everybody's happy all the time, unhappiness wouldn't be something we talk about. Happiness and unhappiness go together. They're partners. Haven't you noticed in your life that when things are going really, really well, generally speaking, there's some caca on its way? Hasn't that generally been the case? I mean, isn't life hills and valleys in the physical plane? There's ups, and the good news is when you're in the caca, there's a hill coming. It's the only direction you can go. That's always been, it's this idea of always being happy 24 hours a day, all the time. It's like trying to find light 24 hours a day. The other thing, of course, is life and death. You know, we often have this idea that life and death are enemies to each other. The top of the wave, the bottom of the wave. Everything that has ever died must have what? Must have lived. You can't have death without life. And the reverse is always true. Every top has a bottom, every inside has an outside, every front has a back. Everyone who has ever lived also must have died. Death and life are partners. They're not enemies. We've gotten this idea that they're enemies, and we have books about how to slay it, and we worry about it, and it's this tremendous anxiety that we live with over whether we're going to live and when, how long we're going to live, and death is something that shouldn't happen. But death is just the physical plane. Is life and death. Everything comes into the physical plane. It's quiet dust. Emily Dickinson had this wonderful poem. She said, "This quiet dust was gentlemen and ladies and lads and girls, was laughter and ability and sighing and frocks and curls." So simple. All this dust that you see, you hold it up in your hand. What was it before? This quiet dust. Gentlemen and ladies. All of us. And so, what I'd like you to do now is to think of something in the physical plane that could never experience darkness. It's impossible for this to ever experience darkness. Couldn't happen. No matter how hard you tried, you could not have this thing experience darkness. And that would be the sun. Why is it that the sun could never experience darkness? Because the sun is the source of all light. Right? So there's an aha in here. There's a eureka. There's a, oh, I see. In order to be able to transcend the duality of the physical plane, you must go to your source. When you go to the source, that is that which is the cause of, you transcend the physical plane. And when you do, you create whatever it is you want to in the physical plane from the position of the source. You go out into the springtime or in the fall, you look at all of those magnificent colors out there, the reds and the blues and the oranges and the greens and the yellows, all of these fantastic colors of flowers and leaves and so on. And you ask yourself, what is the source of all of this color? And there's only one source of all color. It's called light. Light is the source of all color. Without light, there's no color.